like to say good morning to everyone. We're glad to have everyone here today, and especially all those mothers that are in the house. We thank God for each and every one of you. As they say, a mother's work is never done. So I think we all can attest to that. So this morning, our scripture comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 and 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 and 5. And it thus reads, "For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he lived by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates." And reprobates means wicked or corrupt. Thank you.
What's that?
Oh, no.
Let's not start no trouble, sister. Once again, I'd like to say good morning to everyone, and also those people who are out there in Zoom land. We are so proud to have you with us this morning to study another portion of God's loving words. And we pray that you will enjoy the service we have today. We pray that the things that I say will encourage you. Those beautiful song selection there, John. Thank you, brother. Those were mighty fine songs in that. And some of them going to hit home. They're more like you, Lord, reign in me. Those two songs there, they have a whole lot of meaning to it. And I hope and pray that what we sing is what we do. Because I heard a preacher say one time, he said, you can sing a lie just as well as you can tell a lie. You know, and that's I found that to be so very true in that, you know. And so this morning, my title is Self-Examination Determines Christian Effectiveness. Self-examination determines Christian effectiveness. We are told in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, and in the fifth verse, it says, "Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own self." And so we have to prove our own self. And I'm so thankful to God that each one of us are going to be judged for the things that we did or we have not done. Because if I had to look for going to heaven on something that some of my brothers and sisters may do, I may not make it there. But I'm so thankful that God made it personal. Jesus Christ came and died on the cross of Calvary for each and every one of us, and that makes it personal. And so all of us here today, we owe our life to him. If you will, let us bow for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Kind Father, it's once again, Father, we come before your throne of grace and mercy, giving thanks, Father, for all the many wonderful things you have done for us and our families. We thank you for this Mother's Day, and we pray that you will continue to bless all the mothers around the world, Father. And we pray, dear Heavenly Kind Father, most of all, that they would be godly mothers, training up their children in the way that they should go. Dear Heavenly Kind Father, we ask you to be with with Tony and his family this morning, Father, and not only them, all those who are out this morning who would love to be here, but for some reason or another, they could not. We pray that you will be with them and bless them, Father. Father, we ask you at this time, as I prepare to come forward, Father, and to give your word, I pray, dear Heavenly Kind Father, that the things that I say, Father, will encourage my brothers and sisters, our friends and guests, Father. Pray that it would encourage them and draw those who are not members of the body of Christ, that they may be drawn to you, Father. You said, if we lift you up, you will draw all men unto yourself. So we pray, dear Heavenly Kind Father, that we will examine ourselves this morning, Father, and the things that we can find in our life that we could do a little better, Father, that we will encourage each other to do just that, Father. We ask you to be with us as we go through the further of this service. These and other blessings we humbly pray and ask in your Son, Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Self-examination determines Christian effectiveness. We are told in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and 4, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. To evaluate our own levels of effectiveness in all the areas of a Christian's life demands a careful study of God's word. James describes the Bible as a mirror where we can see ourselves in order to inspect our Christian appearance. Like a good mirror, God's word reveals us as we are. But if in James' word we see ourselves and then go away forgetting the kind of person that we saw, we deprive ourselves of God's richest blessings. James chapter 1, verses 23 through 25. The standards for doing our best in loving God and others is best revealed in the life of Jesus and the teachings of his apostles. As we look at Jesus and his apostles there, we find in Matthew's chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Now, this is Christ giving his disciples the great commission in that. The greatest thing that we can do here on earth for the time that God has given us is to help lead lost souls to Christ. That's the most important thing that God has for each and every one of us to do. God has something for each and every one of us to do. We couldn't all be preachers. We couldn't all be teachers. But there's something God has put us here for a specific reason. So he expects us to use that which he has given us. We find there that he told them to go out into the world and to teach all nations. When we think of all nations, we think of what? We think of all people. He says, first you teach all nations, then after you teach them, then you baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It doesn't stop there. He goes on to tell them that they're to teach them to observe, that means to look and to do, all things whatsoever he had commanded them. And when he said, lo, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world, that's to us. He's saying until he comes back again, that's what he wants us to do. He set a pattern here for us to follow in that. And for those that don't understand that, I got a little thing I'll put there. I'm going to use Diane this morning. She's such a great cook, a baker in that. And so let's say that her mother passed down to her all these recipes to make a coconut cake in that, you know. Now, everything she can. She has that recipe book, see? And so that's what she uses. She goes to that book, and if she wants everything to come out just the way grandma made it in that, she has to put all the ingredients into that cake that grandma has in the book. So the book is for her guide in that, if she wants the cake to be like grandma cake. Now, if she just want any kind of cake, she can just throw anything in there, and who knows what you're going to get, you know? They say the proof is in the pudding. Well, you won't know until after she finished that cake. And so, but if she bakes that cake and it doesn't come out right, she knows that she went wrong somewhere. And she's going to get that book out because she thought she had it in her head and that. But she brings the book out and she looks at the recipe. Oh, okay. Yes. Yes. Okay. Well, wow. I didn't do that, you know. And so I missed a step here or there. So guess what? The cake isn't like grandma's cake in that. Well, it's the same way with Christ. He tells us to go out and make disciples in that. He tells us that we have to teach them to observe all things, not what grandma want, not what Aunt Susie says or what Uncle Jim says over there. We have to go according to God's word in that. That's why he left the book here for us. He said it contains all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everything that we need, we have it right here in the book. God's book. And if we follow the instructions in that, we're going to get the same kind of Christians that they got back in the old days in that. Why? Because we're following the same recipe. We're following the same commands that Christ had gave his disciples on how that we are to make new disciples in this world and that till he comes back again. Colossians 3:23-24 reads, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men." Whatever we do, it doesn't matter. If you got a job or whatever, you may have some bad bosses or whatever, or co-workers and that you just, I don't want to be around them or whatever. Well, he says here, we as Christians, if we put on our Christian being in that, we'll learn to live with them. We learn to deal with them. And we don't know, somewhere down the road, we may be able to draw them to Christ. See? And so knowing that of the Lord, ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. As Christians, we are called to follow the Savior in an awesome and important work. Our effectiveness in this work is important because of what is at stake: our souls and the souls of others. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome of those who do not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? All those that don't know Christ out in the world, what's going to happen to them? But more to make us think, he's coming to his house first. And if we scarcely make it, what about those people that don't know Christ? What about those people that have gone out there who once knew Christ and they no longer follow with us in that? What's going to happen to them? We have a responsibility. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome of those who do not obey, those who do not know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Peter warned, "And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful creator. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 17 through 19. Effectiveness is short in supply in the church, in government, in businesses, in schools. The lack of effectiveness hinders our success and limits the good that we can accomplish. The problem we face as Christians do not come primarily from external threats or from a lack of resources. God has given us everything that we need to succeed. As Paul wrote, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficient in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. 2 Corinthians 9 and 8. What an overwhelming abundance we have received as Christians. Yet, do we abound in every good work? In many circumstances, the work of the church is abandoned rather than abounding. We can inventory wonderful opportunities, but too often we see opportunities pass us by. God has provided everything we need for success, yet we are failing to succeed. Our failure comes from mishandling the talents, resources, opportunities God has provided us. God has given us everything we need, but the thing is what are we going to do with it? Are we just going to let it sit there, or are we going to use it and use it to the glory of God? We are failing as stewards, which also means we are failing in the work of the Lord. For our work in his service is to have stewardship. Selfishness versus stewardship, we are failing in effective service in part because we are failing in our relationship with one another. We have forgotten how to relate to one another because we have forgotten how to relate to God. We are no longer looking out for one another because we are no longer looking up to God. We see effects of disunity and problems facing our society, the disintegration of the family, the American family, the fear of violence and crime. Oh my goodness, I turn on the 11 o'clock news and all I hear about is all these people getting shot, getting killed. People, they used to say, oh, the only place that's safe is in the church. Well, you're not safe in the church now either, because they'll come into church and take someone's life. It means nothing to them. And so we see the crime. The crime is all over in that, all over the world in that. We can see things that are happening. We look at Ukraine and that, the things that are happening there, the elderly people, the babies in that. It's like there's no concern for their life in that. The uncertainty of economic change, the problems we face as a nation are symptoms of selfishness working against the common good. The problem we face in the church are the symptoms of selfishness that neither honors God nor serves other people. Selfishness corrupts the freedom we have in Christ. As Paul warned in Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 15, for you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbors as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. Historically, people have realized that civilization requires restraint and that effectiveness requires subordinating selfish interests for the common good. In contrast, the modern times, they say, do your own thing approach weakens the social fabric and makes real effectiveness impossible. Do your own thing. We can't do our own thing because we belong to Christ. Christ, the Lamb, shedded his precious blood that we all may have that right to eternal life. We don't belong to ourselves. He said our bodies is the temple of God. See? So we don't belong to ourselves. We belong to Christ. And he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's what he tells us. If we love him, keep his commandments. From a standpoint of selfishness, there can be manipulation and intimidation, but there cannot be real effectiveness. Effectiveness requires a commitment to a common goal. We all have to be committed to that same goal. God is no respecter of person. What he says to me, he says to you, he says to each one of us. He doesn't pull no punches or whatever in that. And he tells us, if you love me, keep my commandments. This shared commitment binds people together and provides a framework within which effective service can occur. Within the church, our shared commitment should be a shared submission to the will of God. People seek out positions of power and influence in the church for a wide range of reasons. Some fleshly seek power to advance private agendas. The example of Christ guides us to never seek merely to please ourselves. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. What is the work of the Lord? Going around visiting the sick, visiting those that I know COVID is out there now, so that kind of put the brakes on us, going to the nursing homes, to the jails, reaching out to the people that are in the missions and that, people that are on the street and that. That's what our mission should be. That's the mission that, as we looked at Christ and his disciples and that, his apostles, that's the example that they set. They set that example for us to follow. And so Christ has no other plan. We are his plans. And we are the ones that he expects to be his mouth, to be his ears, to be his hands, to be his feet. He expects us to do those things and that. Why? Because he died for us. That was the greatest thing that anyone has ever did. He gave his life for the world, that we may have life and have life everlasting. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. See, we need to work so that we make sure that our living here on this earth is not in vain. We have examples over in Matthew chapter 15, 8 and 9. Christ was talking to his disciples there. He said, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their hearts is far from me. But in vain, notice he says, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, it says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You know, that's going to be the saddest day in the world for many people in that. Many people that are out there not following after the doctrine of Christ, but following after the doctrine of man, going about doing what they want to do. Well, the old saying say what? You reap what you sow. Say, so that's why we need to examine ourselves to see where we stand in our Christianity. We don't want to live in vain. I don't want to go there thinking I'm going to heaven, Brother Jim. And I get there and he tells me, depart, Harry. I don't know you, you worker of iniquity. So he left a guide for us to follow in that. We need to examine ourselves to make sure that we're following those examples in that. This shared We need servant leadership. Servant leadership stresses teamwork, conviction, understanding, and the ethical use of power. The leader is a servant first, making the mindful choice to lead in order to better serve. And so there's an old saying that they said too, I'd rather see a sermon any day than hear a sermon. And the reason they say that, they said, let me see you doing what you're telling me that I need to do, or you're telling me what Christ has done for you in that. Let me see. Let me see how much do you love him. You're saying he did all these things for you. What have we done for him? Or as that old saying said, what have you done for me lately? What have you done for me lately? Matthew chapter 20, verses 26 through 28 reads, whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So we see the example of what Christ did. He came to give a ransom for many. That's you and us. And there's millions and millions of people that are out there in the world that still do not know Jesus Christ. They don't know. Some of them never heard of him. There's some that they just don't know that he's the answer for the world today. We are to help cultivate the abilities of our sisters and brothers in Christ, helping each other to grow and to develop into men and women of faith that God has called us to be, building each other up, enabling us to be more than what we were in the beginning in that. We see the example where Christ sent out the disciples two by two in that. He gave them instructions on how what they were to do in that. And so it works out a whole lot better when you got somebody else with you, don't it? I know when I go out to do Bible studies, I like to have another brother or sister with me in that, because that kind of builds up my confidence in that, you know? And we kind of uplift each other in that. It's just like they say, if you fall in the ditch and you're by yourself, who's going to get you out the ditch, you know? But if you're cold in that, they say with two together, you can warm each other in that. See, so we can get together, pair up and go out and do God's will. We can do just like the book says in that. The example was good then, it's still good now. He said, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He doesn't change. He's the same all the time. Whenever we need him, he's always right there. You know, we have someone that we can depend on, but he wants us to for him to be able to depend on us also. We need to examine our responsibility before God as the Lord's servants and to enhance our faithful service in the church. James says, but will thou, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Ye see then how that works is a man by a man is justified, and not by faith only. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. James chapter 2, verses 20, 24, 26. Christ has called us to service. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is plenty, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Luke chapter 10, verses number 2. You hear what he says? The harvest is truly a plenteous, but the laborers are few. So he says, pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, he will send forth more laborers than that. So if we're going to pray to God to send forth more laborers, we need to see, what are we doing, Brother Jim? We're supposed to be laborers of God in that. And he's telling us that the laborers are few. The laborers are few. The call to duty and the response, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8 says, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I. Send me." How many of us that when God sends someone to us that we can talk to, that we can try to lead to Christ, and we turn our back on that opportunity? As I said earlier, we can list all the different opportunities that passes us by. See, God sends people to us in that. He sends them to us for a reason. So we need to try to make sure that we're ready. He said, be ready for every good work. Be ready to give answer of the hope that is in us with fear and trembling. There are lost souls out there. They need Christ. We have Christ, or we say we have Christ. We need to put that into work. Acts chapter 9, verse 6 says, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Psalm 102, "Serve the Lord with gladness." James 5 and 20 says, "Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death." Did you hear that? The one that saves the sinner, he's going to save him from all that sin that they committed or whatever. All those sins are going to be washed away. They obey the gospel of Jesus Christ in that. And that's what it's all about, saving lost souls in that. And you know, the thing is God said that all souls belong unto me. So he doesn't leave out anybody. All those people in the world, those souls belong to him. He's the one that made man in that, see? And he doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants all to have salvation, but they can only have it through his son, Jesus Christ. The blood of the Lamb is what's going to save them, to wash away all their sins. What shall our reward be for faithful service? Matthew chapter 25, 21 says, "His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." John chapter 4, 36 says, "And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal." See, the things that we do here, they're going to follow us, you know? But if we get there and we stand before God and we ain't got no works, he looks at the book and the book is blank there. How you think that's going to go? I don't think that's going to go too well in that, you know? And so here on earth, when we have a job and we do a good job and everything, what they do? They give us promotions. They give us bonuses. They give us raises. Well, what are our reward going to be when we stand before God? If we have carried out his will in that, our wages are going to be that we're going to have life eternal in heaven with him. We're not going to have to worry about that place called hell with the burning stones and that, all those things, we don't have to worry about, because we know that we did all we can while we can, so that if something happened to us, we don't have to feel guilty or what have you, that we can't get out there no more, because God knows we did all while we could. We always took care of what he put before us in that. And so we don't have to worry. Our wages, we're going to get paid for the work that we do. Only what we do for Christ will matter in the end. Only what we do. We find there in Revelation chapter 3, 15 to 22 says, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spruce thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have needs of nothing, and knoweth not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor, blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou may seest. As many as I love, I rebuke and chastise. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Here is our blessed assurance. Revelation chapter 14, verses 12 and 13 reads, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, right blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, said the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their work do follow them. See, the work, only what we do for Christ will matter. The things that we do, our works are going to follow us. We won't have to worry about whether the check is in the mail, Brother Jim, or did they send it out yet? Our reward is going to be there. Is going to be there waiting for us. Self-examination determines Christian effectiveness. Doctors today highly recommend patients to do a self-examination. Am I correct? The ladies in that, they tell you to get a partner in that, and you guys go through the examination in that. Brother Jim, many of us, we go to the doctor to get examinations in that. Why? We want to make sure that we're okay in that. So we go and we get an examination in that. And they do the x-rays, the MRIs, and so many other different things in that. So that examination lets the doctor know what needs to be done in that. And so we as Christians, we need to have that self-examination also. We find out through the people having those examinations what happens in that. It results in many lives being saved and extended, their life extended in that. And so, you know, everybody want to stay here as long as they possibly can in that. So they go out to get that examination in that. The thing is, when last have we had an examination? When have we last had a spiritual examination, examining ourselves? We have the recipe. We have the book right here in that. And we can read it and we can go through there and we can do that self-check in that. See? Only you and God knows the things that you are doing in that. And we're not saying that you got to be a show off and go out there to, hey, look at me doing this. No, we do what we do in silence in that. And the Lord, he'll do the speaking for us. It's him that we're trying to serve. But the thing is we need each other. As we do that self-evaluation and that, you have a best friend or best buddy or best sis or best brother in that, you can get together and you can give each other that examination in that. Let's see where we're at, Brother Jim. We came to the Lord about the same time in that. What have we done? What more can we do to add on to what we already have done? Because we can never do enough. It's just like we're saying about the mothers and that. The mother's job is never finished. There's always something left to do. But mothers say, well, I'll take care of that tomorrow and that. I think now I'm kind of tired and that. I think I'm going to go get some rest and I'll start back tomorrow and that. I'll pick up where I left off and that. So that's what many of us need to do. We need to pick up where we left off after we was baptized. You know, We're supposed to grow. And how do we grow? By doing God's will, putting our trust and faith in God, praying and asking him to help us to be more like Jesus. Each and every day that he lets us live, we should ask God to help us to strive to be the Christian that he has called for us to do. Pray to the Lord. He already knows what we need in that, but he wants us to ask, just like our children. We want them to come to us and let us know what they need in that, you know. We may see it, but we don't want to volunteer. We want them to come to us and ask us. And when they ask us, then we go ahead and we help in that. We learn in God's word. When we learn better, God expects us to do better. This is how we go on to perfection: learning, praying, growing, maturing in the word of God, which equals Christian effectiveness. If you are here today and you're not a member of the Lord's church, you can become one today, right here today. We can take you, and I think the water is in there, isn't it, Brother Jim? We have the water right here in that. So if you want to become a Christian today, God has made it possible. There's five steps that you must take in that. And then the Lord asks you to his church, to his body, the body of Christ. Number one, you must first hear the gospel. Romans chapter 10, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Number two, you must believe the word of God. We find in Hebrews chapter 11 and 6, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently search for him. Number three, you must repent of past sins. We read in Acts chapter 17, verse 30, and the time of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. You must confess Jesus is Lord. Romans 10 and 10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then the last step there is you must be baptized for the forgiveness or for the remission of your sin. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you're here today and you're a member of the body of Christ, but you have not been faithful, you have went back out in the world and took part of the things that are in the world and that, you can come back to Christ today. You can be like the prodigal son. The Bible tells us he went out there and he spent up everything and that, and then a great famine came to that country and that, and he was broke. It wind up, he was out there, he had to go to a citizens of that country and feed the man hogs for him. And it was so sad because he had to eat the same food that he was feeding the hogs. That's what he had to eat in that. But the Bible tells us that he came to his senses. He got to thinking, he said, why am I here eating with the pigs when my father, he has all kinds of servants in that. And they have even more spare that they can eat in that. And so he said, I think I'll go back to my father in that. And when he went back to his father, he told his father, he said, I have sinned before heaven and before thee. And his father took him back with open arms and that. He had the servant to go get him a ring. He got him the newest tire to wear in that. And so it's the same way with us in that. When we leave Christ, and I can use myself as an example. I got mad at God and I left the church in that. And I guess I was going somewhere near 15, 20 years. I left the church in that. I was mad at God, because I was trying to do everything he wanted me to do. And then all of a sudden, he took something away from me, and that learned me a lesson. I used to always, when I used to preach, I said, I'll never leave the church. I'll never do this. I'll never do that. Well, God taught me a lesson. Harry, Never say what you won't do in that. You say, if it's God's will, I don't want to do this or do that. See? And so I left the church in that, but thanks be to God that he fixed it so that I could get back. Everybody don't get to make it back. Many that leave the Lord and go out in the world, they have nothing to look forward to. But God spared me. He sent me back. And I'm so thankful. So if you're here today and you've gone astray, don't worry. We all were sinners. We all still are sinners in that. And so God is there. The blood of Jesus is continually washing us and keeping us until that day. But we have to realize that there's something that we have to do too. We need that self-examination. It determines Christian effectiveness. If you hear, you may come as we, the song leader leads the song of encouragement. Thank you very much.